is a verse. Well, talk about filter, Shelley. Filters all over the place, right? Boy, what if I put in a microphone and walked down Front Street and did something like that? You'd hear something very similar, wouldn't you? What if I did that in here? Scott, could you get the mic? I'm just kidding. Wow. The filter, the way we look at things, the way we consider good, great, really amazingly great. What does it take? Interesting. Yeah, interesting. And to hear what you were saying in regards to when I saw this movie, you know, this filter, do I believe God is good? And then the song that followed that, just looking at God's goodness, do I trust that? Do I believe that? There's a lot to unpack here in just that one phrase. Look at what just a 3-minute clip does to your brain right now. Considering all the different thinking behind, am I good? Could there be a good heart out there born into that? And then to hear a couple, no one's good. I believe people can be good, you know? Right there. That's a struggle inside.
Jesus turns around and he says, I think I can help you with that struggle.
It's pretty interesting
the way he does it, though. And this has been one of those weeks.
It feels like fall. Am I right? It didn't yesterday. Today it does. Today it feels like fall. It was hot yesterday, wasn't it? A little drizzle this morning. Kind of makes you want to ease into Sunday a little bit, a day of rest. Some of you are like, yeah, I got to be at work at 1 o'clock today. Thanks a lot for that. It's okay. Welcome to our 10:30. My name's Andrew, and it's a joy to have you. If you're visiting Catalina, welcome to our beautiful island. Avalon Community Church has lots of services, different ways of doing ministry. And this morning, we welcome you to this service, and we challenge you, if you're going to be here for a while, maybe you're seasonal, to check out some of the other things we have going on. This is the time of the year where things transition quite a bit, and school, of course, dictates the course of parents and families, and college students that were here making a fast buck are headed back to school. Yesterday, the young ladies, the varsity volleyball team, won a championship tournament. Alexa's over here. Congratulations. And I want to say thank you to M&O Robinson, Jackie Robinson School, for handing the Lancers their worst defeat in a long time. The guys did not come away victorious yesterday. It was a serious spanking. I think 56-0 spanking. So we are all the way back with football in the fundamental stages. Both our paddle teams crossed the channel safely, representing Catalina. Coming into this week, up and down, new ministries, women's ministry, men's ministry, kicking off in the next 2 weeks. I ran into people in town that are visiting. They've had some time just to take off, and they're visiting with family. Good to see the Eversons together back there. Both bros sitting in the back, one of which prayed for me just a moment ago. And I was reflecting on that. My brother is not doing well, and we have a lot going on in our family right now that's just hard to endure. My filter is everything. Okay? Just to be able to stand this morning, hearing tough news on my brother, and to have someone pray for me regarding my strength before the service starts.
It's on an hour-to-hour basis right now.
Anyone here relate? Hour-to-hour
basis, yeah. Just
breathe right now. Get me through this hour. Because our filter must be that God is good. Amen? You understand? If your filter's off, you're not going to make it an hour from now. And no matter what the news is, good or bad, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work for your situation. We turn inward, become self-centered as to what do I need to sustain me right now. God is what you need. He's the sustainer. We let go of control. And we give it to God. And that is what I'm trying to get across, not only to my own heart on an hourly basis, but to my family members. My brother's not doing well. He's in the state of Florida. In addition to that, millions of people in the state of Florida are suffering. We came from there. spent 40 years of my life there, so a lot of family and friends, and some of them having to restart things from scratch. Certainly hurricanes are nothing new to the state. But that eye goes wherever it wants and does whatever it wants to do. Hurricanes are so unpredictable. And there's another one predicted to head in that direction here. I was looking over the beautiful children of Haiti on that table back there. What a great display. Before you leave, settle yourself. Look at some story back there. Speak with Darlene. There is so much that has happened in the Caribbean, Dominican, Cuba, as well as beautiful Haiti. And these storms come through there, Jamaica. And boy, do they leave their mark. Filter is everything this morning. And I encourage you to not check out. If you're checking this God stuff out, don't check out this morning. Give it time and don't make any decisions today, but let it settle in. Someone of great importance approached Jesus, actually out of breath, just wanting some answers, thinking, I got this answer, but I'm just going to, in front of everyone here, ask this question. And he came away with a different answer altogether. And it's great to have you here. We're in week one of what could be maybe 3 weeks. I don't know, but it's a great journey we're taking with Jesus. Keeping the main thing the main thing. True? Yeah. Everywhere he went, there was a crowd. The place was packed. He had a hard time navigating where he would go, how he would get there, because it had to be planned out. Lots of people. The Bible says that people were amazed at him. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his miracles. They were amazed at his compassion. And amazed at his presence. He was simply amazing. And as we begin this series, I want to ask something of you. If you would make this personal some ways, right here in the very beginning, what literally have you done with Jesus right now? Where is Jesus in your life? Where is he at? I want your opinion of him. What is your position of him? Where does he stand with you? Think about that for just a moment. Let's say you're over here, and this represents the person who's heard about Jesus, but is confused. I don't have all the answers. I'm not quite sure what to do with him. But I've seen this guy in the loincloth and the cross. Understand what he's all about. I've seen pictures of him. Do unto others. I've said Jesus in a lot of different things. But I'm struggling today. And what happens with confusion is it takes two angles. Angle number one is it leads to apathy. And you're just going, oh, forget it. You know, I don't care. It's too much for me to settle in. The world just gives me different views of it anyway. Another angle of confusion is it could lead to curiosity. Curiosity. I'm interested. I don't get it all, but I'm sure willing to check it out and investigate it. Willing to look it over. Maybe you're there. Okay? Or maybe you're over here where you've not only heard about him, but you've rejected him altogether. Maybe not today, but in the past, you've had a hard time with it. And you can say to some degree of integrity that you have investigated the claims of Christ, and you've looked it over. You can't see how he would make any difference in your life in the 21st century. He was really nothing more than a good teacher, and you reject the fact that he was God, and that he can make an immediate difference in your life or your family's lives. Anything in the future, like life after death type thing, just let it go. Or maybe you are, the reason you're here today is because you've wanted to get to hang out with somebody, or you're related to somebody, they've invited you, or maybe you're dating somebody and you hope to be related, possibly, so you come anyway, you know, haha, it's people come to church for different reasons, folks. I'm just letting you know. And your motive is everything, but people come. But maybe the reason you're here is you're looking for someone. Or there's a third that would say this. I've accepted him into my life. You knew that on your own, personally, looking deep, that you didn't have what it takes to have a perfect relationship with God because you're imperfect. So you said, the Jesus who died on the cross, who paid for my sins, I want to open up to Him. I want to give myself over to Him. And it begins anew. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. Doesn't say I make new things. Amen? Yeah, that's what He's there for. I'm inviting Him in to forgive me of these things. CEO, the Savior, my King, the Ruler. I am a Christian. Christ won, and I'm a follower of Jesus. Within this category, you know there are extremes. There are extremes. This is something that I've significantly felt just living here on Catalina. You have one extreme over here. It says I'm a Christian. Okay, I've got this little card that I carry here, and it's in my pocket to prove it. I own a Bible. It's somewhere. But I have Avalon Community Church garden sign out front. I'm very, very into it. I'm here all the time. I think I pray every other Super Bowl. I am a Christian. Okay, so you have that guy. And then you have those that are very much spiritual transformations in progress. There's something that's progressing. That's one extreme. Okay, Jesus Jr. would be the other definition. There's everyone in between, it would seem like. But there's others that just turn around and they say, hey, I've got everything together. One extreme or another. Let me ask you this question. If you're here, confused or apathetic or confused and rejecting Him or curious, can I say this? Okay. I am thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you have made it here. In whatever state you're in this morning, I'm in a very strange state. I've had a lot of emotion this week. It's still going, and I have more in the future. Whatever the condition, we need God no matter the circumstances. Amen? The highs and the lows, the supernatural highs and the supernatural lows, where we know only God can put us here or get us there. That's where we're at. As you take a look at your notes in this title series, Simply Amazing, When Life Encounters Jesus, today we're going to talk about the route to greatness, and we're going to examine what Jesus had with a guy who was trying to find the way to greatness. Literally, it resonates with each of us in here. People that make it to Catalina and call this home and life here have great opportunity. It's a very small town. And it doesn't take much in a small town like this to go over the top. Something big happens. Actually, not very much at all, and you can get yourself in the papers around here. You really can. You know, like every other day, there's someone new in the front page. Like, whoa. Ladies Golf Club seems to always be on the front page quite a bit. A lot of greatness there. We want to quantify ourselves with greatness. But here's the thing about greatness. We think greatness is so exclusive. It's not reserved for people like you and me. It's for those people, possibly. And it becomes this exclusive club that other people can achieve something. I can't do that. I literally sat back going, I don't know if this stage of my life I need to be focusing on this sport out here in the ocean. I love the ocean. Everything about the ocean. But is this the time for me to jump in on something like this? There's a lot of new things happening. And this is a commitment with a team of people. Do I want to be in the Outrigger Club? Is this what I want to do? In the news, a Hall of Fame for baseball. Thousands and tens of thousands of baseball players that have played the game of baseball. Thousands of names over the years. But in the election, anyone know how many people actually make it into the Hall of Fame when they do their elections? Rarely. How many? Anyone know? Yeah, close. Between 2 to 4 actually make it into the Hall of Fame when they actually hold their elections. Only 2 usually make it in. I was surprised at that. Many years ago with some college friends, I went to Cooperstown and saw this Hall of Fame. Really, it's a great place. But you know what I noticed? It's small. Anyone been there before, Cooperstown? It's small, isn't it? You know, when I tell people and I'm over in visiting, or I'm in Colorado, or I'm with some family, I'm from Avalon, they're like, oh my gosh, you're from Avalon. Is that in L.A.? I'm like, no, it's on Catalina Island. They're like, oh, Catalina. They've heard that because of the song, right? And they're like, how big is Avalon? And then I got to go into the story. It's like 1 square mile and there's like 4,000 people. They're like, oh my gosh, it's such a huge name. You mean that King Cole's song and all that? I mean, yeah, teeny little place. We think we can play the game of life oftentimes, and we can never be great at it. And the disconnect is that for many of us, when we're growing up, we wanted to have great things. We wanted to be great things. I remember as a little kid, I saw a musician one time. This guy came to our town in a jazz concert and played the saxophone like I've never seen him play. He was like this, and he was like this, and he was holding it out like this. And I remember when it was over, and as a little kid, I went up and I really wanted to hold his saxophone. I'm like, I want to do this. It was almost as big as I was. And I couldn't find the spit valve on that thing. It was so hard with all the places to put your finger. And I remember he showed me where this thing was, and I clicked the spit valve, and all this loogie stuff came out from his concert. As a kid, I just was grossed out. But I remember, I want to play this thing. And since that time, I've enjoyed jazz music. I have. Certain types, whether it's the old school 40 stuff, or it's even today modern stuff, you know, they do a great job of it coming up next month with a holiday they do here up in the casino. Good music like that. I like it. I like guys that are working hard for their music instead of the electric stuff. I want to see them really pounding it and playing hard. I always thought of myself like that. I always thought, I could do that. Why don't I try that? And so I did for about a week. In high school, I messed around with the saxophone for about a week. During soccer season, as it was overlapping into basketball season, and you know, I had friends at high school. I had a lot going on. Bottom line here, I put nothing into it at all. It was horrible. I had to return the saxophone. My mom's like, what the heck are you doing? You know, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. And it was horrible. I could not play that thing a lick. And to this day, I don't even know where the spit valve is on it to this day. I wanted to, but the bottom line here is my desire to be great was there. But guess what? As I'm maturing in life, and I think this is true for you as well, my desire for greatness to do something great has decreased, but to be something great has increased. Let me explain. Okay? I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great friend. I want to be a great lover of life. I want to be a great person of compassion. I want to be a great Christian. I don't want mediocrity to define my being. I don't want my kids to look at me and go, yeah, my dad, he was very average. Or for Shelley to say, yeah, as a spouse, he took up a lot of unnecessary space, yeah. Or as a friend, I don't know if I'd call Andrew a friend. He's more like an acquaintance, you know. Or for God to go, oh, Andrew who? No. The reason I continue to desire greatness is because God has wired that inside me. I wanted to cross that channel so bad, they probably were going to have to pull me as a lug weight behind it. I was like, I am going on this trip, man. I need something. I need a physical goal to set for myself. I want this. God's wired that inside each one of us. Where we put those desires is everything. And the desire you have for greatness. Jesus did not just sit back and live an amazing life. Jesus did not die on the cross. Jesus did not prove that he was God by rising from the dead so you and I would live a life of mediocrity. Amen? No way. Packed it full. We desire greatness as we watch how Jesus navigated greatness. But if I'm honest with you, at every time I teach, I want to be honest with you, okay? Every time I come up here, I want to be clearly visible as to what my struggles are, what my life is like. There's a lot of times in my life I don't meet my own expectations. I have to evaluate all the time. I don't meet other people's expectations. I feel a little down, like I don't have what it takes. There are times, sometimes it's an embarrassment to admit, when I don't really trust God for areas of my life, and I hear my own wife stand up here with that, do I believe, honestly believe that God is good? Can I take that at full face value and let that redirect the course of my decision making right now? Then whether consciously or subconsciously, I look for quick fixes. to make me feel great. Are you tracking with me? There's a lot of quick fixes out there. If I just read that new book, just came out, right? Join that team. Hang around with those guys. Those are the guys. Kind of fit in and let that change who I am. Or maybe learn that quick principle to apply to my life. Or that program. That program, that's the one I need. That'll lead me to greatness. I want quick fixes. Let me ask you this. Is anyone else in here guilty of the desires for quick fixes once in a while? Raise your hand. Anyone here? Yeah, everyone. Okay, the rest of you are sleeping. Great. Quick fixes are popular in society.
Okay.
Dr. Phil. Oh my gosh, I grew up, I would go to my friend's house. His mom's always watching Dr. Phil. Oprah. Everybody's got a fix. Everyone's going to find it. He's got an answer. We watch these people for how to get to greatness. We sit at Vaughn's. And while you wait for the slow person to check your stuff in, you're looking at the magazines on there and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like checking out, I want to look like that, you know, I want to see that, not realizing over 3/4 of it's airbrushed probably on there. But we look at the magazines, who's great now, who blew it from greatness now? Where do we go for those things?
Desire for greatness. And I do too. And our desires
is we want something technically way more than that. Think about it. You want something deeper, more meaningful. You don't want your friendships to be average. When I moved out here to Catalina, I literally had to begin again with friendships. I'm not saying I dropped my old friendships, but it's just not the same when they were over on the mainland, especially 3,500 miles away. New friendships had to begin. And in order to have something like that, I had to really look
at my motives.
I wanted it to be a selfish thing, but in a good way. I need you. I need you. But I need God more. And I need you to understand me and understand where I am presently. So here's my story. And what's your story? Let's compare story together. What have you done with Jesus? Oh, you're asking me? Let me tell you what I've done with him. And our hearts come together, and something real begins at that point. You don't want your material possessions to fill a spiritual void that you have in your life. You don't want to be consumed by conflict all the time. You don't want things to just settle, bad habits and addictions into your life. You don't want friends to feel, you know, just a certain way about you. You don't want your emotions to be flat all the time. And so you turn around, you don't want to live a forgettable life. I'm evaluating that right now with my own brother. He actually is the closest of the three brothers. He's the closest to all of them. As my dad was gone a lot, and some of you heard my testimony of drivenness as a result of a dad wound, a father wound in my life, of a wonderful, loving man, but he just checked out. My brother filled those times, some of those early moments. The fishing exhibitions and things we would do all night and charter boats and the time we'd spend together. Fascinating stuff. I watched him as I grew up. And I don't see him living a mediocre life until things started to settle into his spirit. And I'm talking to him now about battling through the psyche and the emotions. Stay alive, son. Stay alive for our benefit. Stay alive. Do all that you can do that they're telling you you should do. Do all of it. Stay alive. Let's leave this thing in a blaze. As Aragorn said in Two Towers, if this be our end, may it be what? Such an end. May it be such an end. That's what I want for your life. That's what you want for your life. That's what I want for mine. Do any of those resonate with you? I want something more. You want something more significant than just blowing a saxophone and finding a spit valve. There's got to be more. And the guys that do that are so amazing, they have practiced. They fell in love. They had a passion with it. They spent the time with it. I just didn't have that. I had passions going all over the place. Well, there is more. There is more. Jesus gave us the how-to, to literally match out the want-to. And to simply say that this story here is just a quick and a no-brainer is way different. You have to look at this. It's not okay for me to say that. This is a huge story in Scripture. And what I kind of like about this and other events that take place in the Bible is I like learning some of the harsh realities of life by somebody else's expense. Anybody like that? It's like, ooh, glad I'm not that guy. I do that with Scripture all the time. And I was just talking to John a few minutes before the service. I can't get over the look that this guy had after Jesus just kind of let him know something very simple. And just the loaded look on his face, just the thoughts that were there. Let's check out this video. Certainly we weren't there, but this will give you some visual image of Mark chapter 10 where we're going to dive real quick, okay? Look at the story.
Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?
Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Which?
I shall do no murder. I shall not commit adultery. I shall not steal. I shall not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
All these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?
One thing thou lackest. Thou wilt be perfect. Go and sell that thou hast. And give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Verily I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Who then can be saved?
With men this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yeah, but not without him. With God. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 10. It's in your notes and on the screen. Starting at verse 17. Then Jesus was starting out on a trip. He had just started. A man came running up to Jesus, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what should I do to have eternal life?" Right away, I like this guy. Okay? Right away. I like him because he came running to Jesus. A lot of times where people sneak up to Jesus or kind of stand in the back of the crowd, they kind of work their way to him. This guy, he's a pastor. He is passionate. He's got some attitude. He is on his way, and he just is like, heard of Jesus' reputation, and it simply says he came running up to Jesus. This guy wanted to be in his presence. In today's vernacular, this guy was really an alpha male. He had it going on. Panting, out of breath. That's why this is a little different than some of the video I was watching right there, where he was kind of moving slowly. Scripture says it was more than that. That's what it says in Scripture. He was moving, like, in front of everybody. A lot of confidence in this guy. I know that because that look was following later. But it says he would have kind of guy that you would meet, very confident. Someone would take a helicopter here to the island, you know, catches up with someone big and just decides to start an audience with Jesus with his chest still heaving out of breath, he asked Jesus' most important question on eternal life. The most important question, but you know what I know about this guy. He's looking for a quick fix. We just talked about that. He wanted an 11th commandment, an easy spiritual plan. Look at verse 18. Here's what it says. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But as for your question, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Don't testify falsely. Don't cheat. Honor your father and mother." He's just cranking them out for this guy. Right there, Jesus is doing what any good rabbi or Jesus teacher would want for someone to hear. He is letting people know, here's what you asked, here it is. Just point somebody back to the Old Testament, Jewish law, here it is. The rich man, he knew the Old Testament. He was smart. He knew the Jewish law. It basically said this: if you obey the commandments, if you keep the commandments, you will have life. You will live. If you perfectly keep these, you will have life and you will live. That's basically what Jesus was doing, pointing back to that. Verse 20. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a child." A lot of times when I read the Bible, I think, today I'm a follower of Jesus. What if I was a follower of Jesus then? Like, what if I was hanging out and I was in the back? You ever do that before? Like, you're listening to this conversation, you know? What if I was one of his disciples?